Your conference is being recorded.
So you can start.
Good morning to our call participants from Asia, and good evening to our call participants in the U.S. This is the conference call for the second quarter results of Del Monte Pacific Group, DMPL, for FY 2019, ending October. Representing Del Monte in this call are Cito Alejandro, Group Chief Operating Officer of DMPL, Parag Sachdeva, Group CFO of DMPL, Greg Longstreet, CEO of Del Monte Foods, DMFI, subsidiary of DMPL in the U.S., Gene Allen, CFO of DMFI, and this is Iggy Sison, Chief Corporate Officer of DMPL. Before we start the call, may we request everyone to please mute his or her phone. Thank you. So Parag Sachdeva, our Group CFO, will now present our second quarter results.
Thank you very much, Iggy. I would like to draw your attention on slide 5, which provides the second quarter and first half 2019 highlights. Net income of $8.4 million for second quarter from a net loss of $2.8 million in prior year period, and a net income of $11.4 million for first half, a turnaround from the $2.1 million loss last year. Second quarter sales of $556 million, lower than prior year, mainly due to lower sales in the U.S., including the divestiture of Sega Creek vegetable business a year ago, and also deprioritizing non-profitable businesses in line with the strategy. Improved gearing to 2.8 times equity from 3.4 times in prior year period by raising equity and reducing debt. Slide 6. On the outlook, the group is expected to be profitable for FY19, barring unforeseen circumstances. Major emphasis on responding to consumer trends through strengthening the core business and innovating, particularly outside the can, continues. Additionally, focusing on growing our branded business and reducing non-strategic, non-branded business segments is also underway. We continue to improve financial performance through review of manufacturing and distribution footprint in the U.S. That also drives operational efficiency, further reduces costs, and increases margin. Increasing cash flow, strengthening balance sheet, and reducing leverage and interest expense is also being executed as part of our long-range plan. Slide 7 refers to second quarter group results summary. Sales of $556.3 million is 11% lower than last year. U.S. sales lower by 13.8%. If we strip out Sega Creek, BMFI sales would have been lower by 7.4%. Philippines, lower by 2.6% in local currency, but 7.8% lower in U.S. dollar terms. S&W brand in Asia surged by 17%, mainly due to higher sales of fresh. JV in India has grown at 6% in U.S. dollar terms and 10% in local currency, driven by the growth of Del Monte branded business. EBITDA of $45 million, down 14% from $52.1 million, due to lower sales in the U.S., lower exports of processed pineapple, significantly reduced PJC pricing, and higher product costs that were partly offset by price increase in the Philippines and lower trade spend in the U.S. Operating profit of $28.7 million, down 7% from $30.9 million. Net profit of $7.3 million, down 29% from net profit of $10.2 million. The change in U.S. tax rate to 21% from 35% had a negative impact of $2.3 million. All of the above profitability numbers without one-off costs and are versus last year. To note, we have also successfully lowered our inventory in the U.S. and reduced the same by $214 million versus the same period last year. Slide 8, a brief snapshot on non-recurring expenses. Very happy to report that we had minimal one-off costs in the second quarter. $1.7 million gain is what we have on a pre-tax basis, mainly from the sale of assets that were previously included in restructuring costs. For example, the sale of the Indiana plant. $1.7 million was incurred in severance across several locations as we optimize our resources. Last year includes non-recurring costs from divestiture of Sega Creek business and closure of two plants in Indiana and Arkansas. Slide 9 covers the Q2 results in a little bit more detail. Second quarter, sales of 556 again, 11.1% lower than last year, driven by decreased exports of processed pineapple products across the continent. Unfavorable impact of lower pineapple juice concentrate pricing, which is technical, as well as lower DMFI sales. We will be explaining more about the sales and the turnover analysis and in the market reports as well. Gross margin at 22.2%, higher by 160 basis points on an organic basis, led by price increase in Philippines market, lower trade spend in the U.S., exit from low-margin Sega Creek business, more than offsetting unfavorable impact from lower PJC pricing, higher costs of commodities such as tinplate, sugar tax that was imposed in Philippines at the beginning of the calendar year, lower yields and recoveries in the U.S. in FY18, which led to the pack also led to under absorption of overheads due to reduced pack. EBITDA of $45 million and operating profit of $28.7 million, lower versus last year by 14 and 7% respectively on a recurring basis, mainly due to lower gross profit and margin. Financing costs, lower than last year, mainly due to lower level of borrowings, partly offset by increased costs as we have been seeing in the last year or so. DMPL share in the FieldFresh joint venture in India was break-even and almost the same as last year, with improvement in sales offset by lower margin due to increase in cost of commodities. Tax credit of $1.1 million, lower due to reduction in tax rate from 35 to 21%, in addition to lower DMFI's net operating loss. Net income for the quarter of $8.4 million, higher versus last year, mainly due to significantly lower restructuring costs and lower losses for DMFI on a recurring basis. On a recurring basis, we had net income of $7.3 million, down $2.9 million versus last year. Again, to remind you, $2.3 million of shortfall was contributed by the change in tax rate from 35 to 21%. Net debt at $1.7 billion, lower by $171 million due to payment of loans after the issuance of preference shares in December 2017, as well as purchase of DMFI loan and reduction in DMFI inventory. This has resulted in a favorable gearing ratio, which has improved to 2.8 times as compared to 3.4 times last year. Moving on to slide 10, which talks about the second quarter 2019 turnover analysis. Again, America has constituted to 75% of total group sales, lower by 13.3% in the second quarter at $417.7 million, mainly driven by divestiture of Sega business, lower volume across categories, most significantly branded tomatoes, fruits, and private label sales. The decline in sales was in line with DMFI's strategy to deprioritize non-profitable businesses, including private label. Decline in sales of plastic cup was due to lower level of promotions. DMFI did increase its market share during the quarter in canned vegetable segment, and our thrust on innovation continued with the successful launch of fruit and oatmeal on the growth cups. Now, in Asia Pacific, sales in the second quarter declined by 2.2% to US$132.4 million from US$135.4 million due to decreased exports of processed pineapple products and unfavorable sales mix in the Philippines. The sales of Del Monte packet fruit declined in the Philippines, and S&W sales in North Asia and Middle East were also impacted due to increased competition from lower price canned fruit from Thailand and Indonesia. As mentioned previously, this was more than compensated on exports by the surge in fresh sales, thereby growing the S&W brand by 17% in the second quarter. The Philippine market sales were lower by 2.6% in peso terms and 7.8% in U.S. dollar terms. Continued growth driven by key accounts in food service and retail offset lower sales of mixed fruits due to excess trade inventory and distribution transition issues in the general trade. Food service sales continues to remain strong, riding on the rapid expansion of quick service restaurants and convenience stores with partnership and menu creation with major accounts. Europe sales decreased by 17% to US$6.1 million from $7.4 million, again a small base, mainly on lower volume of beverage and unfavorable pricing for canned pineapples and fine juice concentrate. That covers the second quarter. Now I'll summarize the results on the first half. So moving on to slide 11, sales of US$1 billion, lower by 9.6%, US sales lower by 11.6%, and if we take out Sager Creek, DMFI sales would have been lower by 7.2%. Philippine market sales marginally down at 1.6% in local currency, and 6.7 in U.S. dollar terms. S&W in Asia marginally lower than last year, double-digit growth in fresh offset by decline in process. JV in India increased 7% in U.S. dollar terms and 11% in local currency. EBITDA of US$72.3 million, down 15% from 85.2%. Pretty much due to the reasons that I had outlined in the second quarter. Operating profit of US$39.1 million, down 16% from US$46.7 million. Net profit of 3.6, down 69% from net profit of US$11.5 million. The change in the U.S. tax rate to 21% did have a negative impact of $6.5 million for the first half. All of the above profitability numbers are without one-off costs and are versus last year. A preview of non-recurring expenses and gains, BMPI continued with the initiative, as you would have picked up in the first quarter, of buying out second lien loan from the third-party lenders. That led to a pre-tax gain of $16.2 million. All of this was in Q1. Would also like to remind that following divestiture of Sega Creek in FY18, we had incurred $13.1 million for write-down of Sega inventory, which was booked in Q4 of last year. However, the actual cost or loss incurred on the bulk sale of approximately 2 million cases of Sega products was higher by $7.2 million, and this was more or less all of it booked in Q1. We are left with minimal Sega stocks in our inventory. $1.8 million was incurred in severance across several locations as we optimize our resources. Additionally, as stated in the Q2 review, we had gains from the sale of assets that were previously included in restructuring costs. For example, sale of Plymouth plant. We have covered one-off costs related to last year in Q2 review anyway. Moving on to slide 30, provide a more detailed review of our H1 results on a reported basis. First half sales at $1,009.6 million, lower than last year, mainly due to lower U.S. sales and divestiture of Sega veg business. Excluding Sega, sales is down 6%. We'll cover more of that in the turnover analysis. Gross margin at 20.5%, lower by 20 basis points on an organic basis, mainly coming from Q1. As outlined in the Q2 update, we had an improvement in Q2. EBITDA at 65.2 is plus 7.2% on a reported basis, driven by lower one-off costs in DMFI as well as improved gross margins in Q2. Financing costs lower than last year, mainly due to lower level of borrowings, and does include one-off gain of $16.2 million from the additional purchase of second lien loan in the U.S. at a discount. BMPL share in the Field Fresh joint venture in India was favorable at $0.2 million income from a loss of $0.5 million in the prior period due to improvement in sales and margins. A year ago, just to remind everyone, was also impacted by implementation of GST in Q1. Tax credit of $3.9 million, lower due to reduction in tax rate as outlined in the Q2 update, as well as lower BMFI's net operating loss. Net profit of $11.4 million is a turnaround versus year ago. It does include $13 million gain on buyback of BMFI's second lien loan at a discount, which was offset by the reduction in U.S. tax rate to 21%, having a negative impact of $5 million. Slide 14 on the turnover analysis, again for H1, America constituted to 73% of group sales, lower by 11.5% in the first half to $74 million, driven by divestiture of Sega business, lower volume across categories, most significantly branded tomatoes, fruits, as well as some unfavorable impact of lower pricing in food service for pine juice concentrate. Asia Pacific sales in the first half declined by 4.8% to $253 million from $265.7 million due to decreased exports of processed pineapple products and unfavorable sales mix in Philippines. The sales of Del Monte packaged food declined in the Philippines, and S&W sales in North Asia and Middle East were also impacted due to increased competition from lower-priced canned fruit from Thailand and Indonesia. At the same time, sales of fresh surged and grew at almost double digit in the first half. The Philippine market sales were lower by 1.6% in peso terms and 6.7% in U.S. dollar terms. Again, just as it was covered in Q2, key accounts in food service and retail continued to grow, though they were obviously more than offset by lower sales of mixed fruits due to excess paid inventory, as well as distribution transition issues in general trade. Europe sales increased by 8.3%, mainly due to higher volume of pine juice concentrate, coming mainly in Q1, partly offset by significantly lower PJC pricing. With that, we move on to market updates, and I would give the floor to Greg.
Thank you, Parag, and good morning. Slide 16 includes an update on our Del Monte Foods strategy, which begins by building relevance and continuing to differentiate our brands and products in order to drive consumer preference. We have been actively working to reinforce our points of difference within our brand portfolio, such as Del Monte and Cala Gin. We've been working to elevate our taste, health, and convenience credentials by actively improving our products to be non-GMO, all-natural, and in some cases 100% juice products. Driving innovation, which has been a big area of focus for us, we've been evolving to really meet the changing needs of consumers and reach these new consumer targets and millennials with products such as fruit and chia. Also extending innovation into new usage occasions through our consumer insights and research work, we've determined that we can provide more healthy snacking products and more products for on-the-go consumption throughout the day, including our new breakfast products, which are featured in the bottom right-hand corner, our new fruit and oats products. In addition, we're actively entering adjacent categories and are pleased that we will be launching our first Del Monte frozen food products in April of 2019, and we're actively presenting those products to customers currently. Next is about expanding distribution, extending our reach into growing channels and aisles of the grocery store. We are establishing leadership positions in the growing food service and e-commerce categories, and I'll be talking about those shortly. But importantly, we're extending our presence in the store perimeter and the produce departments. With our products that include refrigerated and chilled fruit products, we've grown sales 30% year-to-date. And lastly, improving efficiency. As a key strategic focus for our organization, we are working to optimize our cost basis and realign our manufacturing and supply chain footprints while also driving efficiencies in our sourcing models. In slide 17, we review where our market shares stand within the U.S. marketplace. We are a brand leader across our core categories. We hold the number one market share positions in both canned vegetable and canned fruit categories. We also hold number two market share positions within fruit cup snacks and canned tomatoes. We were able to grow share in two of our four core categories in the second quarter, and our results were driven by strong execution across fundamentals at retail, including innovation and sustained marketing investment to support our brands. We are committed to driving growth in the market. We are investing in our brands, building our brands, differentiating our products, innovating to meet changing consumers' needs, and expanding our distribution throughout multiple channels, including the convenience store channel. And on slide 17 on the right, we feature our new grab-and-go singles products, which have been really well received by the convenience channel markets in the United States. On slide 18, we review our sales performance. As Parag mentioned, Q2 sales were down 14% to $418 million U.S. If you remove the Sager Creek business that we divested, sales were down 7%. Most of that decline was driven by lower private label sales as well as some declines in our branded tomato business. In addition, we had lower food service pricing across our pineapple and pineapple ingredient products due to the current state of the pineapple market in the United States. And lastly, you know, this decline in sales was really in line with our strategy. As Parag mentioned, we are focused on removing non-profitable business and focused on growing our gross margins and our EBITDA, which we did in the second quarter versus prior year quarter. Within the second quarter, we also launched some exciting new products. We launched our new vegetable and bean blend products, our collagen bone broth and collagen mushroom stock products, and continue to work to expand the exciting growth of our new Del Monte fruit and oats snack cups, which are the first shelf-stable oatmeal item to contain real fruit. On slide 19, there's more information around these new products. The vegetable and bean product is an innovative combination of two consumer favorites. We've launched those within four different flavor varieties and have supported the launch through traditional consumer promotion as well as digital and social media efforts. We're excited on the right of page 9 to talk about broth. This continues to be a healthy category in the U.S. marketplace and a growing category. We continue to add value and innovate. Our new bone broth products have performed very well as our stock product, and we have more innovation planned for the coming 12 months within this broth category. On slide 20, we have some new news that happened in the second quarter revolving our marketing efforts. In the second quarter, we launched a brand new advertising campaign, which is a master brand campaign supporting all Del Monte products entitled Growers of Good. We've launched this campaign across all traditional media outlets, including television, digital, social, shopper, and public relations, and have been pleased by the response we've received from our customers and our consumers in reaction to this new campaign. Next, on the Fruit and Oats product launch, we're very much focused on driving trial and awareness and repeat sales of this exciting differentiated new product. Here, there are some examples featured here across digital social platforms, online video, shopper marketing, and print. And on the right-hand side, this is the initial work that's going into our relaunch of the Contadina brand. We recently celebrated our 100th year anniversary of the Contadina brand, and it launched a PR event in Southern California, Los Angeles, to really highlight the success and really support the essence of the brand, which is about women in the culinary field. So very excited about the attention and interest this campaign has driven. And we have plans to grow our branded tomato business in the coming year via the Contadina brand. The next slide, 21, highlights some new events that we attended, in some cases for the first time and in some cases for the first time in several years within the United States marketplace. The first is the PMA show, which is the National Produce Marketing Association show. We had our booth there featured for the first time in quite some time, featuring and supporting our new innovative chilled and refrigerated fruit products, including fruit naturals, 20-ounce grapefruit and citrus salad bowls, and our brand new fruit and crunch parfait items. On the right is a look at the National Convenience Association store show that we attended in October. This show really includes all of the different convenience channel operators from around the country, and they are looking for products like Del Monte's provided here that are healthier, better for you, convenient on-the-go products, and we had some very warm reception from customers there and reached several agreements with new customers at this convention. On slide 22, we talk about another important area for Del Monte Foods. We believe the food service business provides an incredible opportunity for growth in the U.S. marketplace. It has not been an area of focus for the company in the past, and we've begun to support this channel in a couple ways. First, we've created some innovative new products, such as the item featured here, which is rice veggies. We've been out attending shows and meeting with customers around the country promoting this product in addition to our core branded food service products. Secondly, we've also changed the foundation and the structure of our sales organization. We've brought in some talented new food service sales managers in different roles around the country to really align ourselves around the markets our distributors, brokers, and end users. And then lastly, we've introduced some new ideas in terms of how to book and promote our food service products. And our long-term vision for food service is for food service to be 25% of our revenue, and that's going to provide a lot of growth and profit return for the organization. I will next turn over the presentation to Mr. Cito Alonso to review the Philippines.
Thank you, Greg. Good morning to all of you. I will now start on chart 23, the Philippines. We continue to have leadership shares in all the categories we compete in, namely packaged pineapple, canned mixed fruit, juices, tomato sauce, and spaghetti sauce. The modern trade and the food service sectors continue to grow, and both of them now account for about 50% of our total portfolio. Moving to slide 24, second quarter sales for the Philippines were down 3% in peso terms and 8% in U.S. dollar terms due to peso depreciation. The key issue that drove down the business was primarily the operational and distribution issues we encountered with our distributor segment, which accounts for 50% of the business, and that we are fixing at this time. We also took price increases across several categories to offset the impact of sugar tax and mitigate inflation. The following pages will talk about the marketing and advertising campaigns that we have launched across our categories. On page 25, interesting to note that we launched a new campaign on our 100% juice called 100% Protection, which features the health benefit of pineapple, aimed at increasing usage of our pineapple juice amongst family members. Slide 26, as you know, beyond pineapple, we also have other juice drinks, and now we've taken the task of introducing our full range of flavors with real fruit to the consumers. This, in a way, would strengthen their appeal, the appeal of our products across a broader range of consumers. Slide 27 talks about our pineapple campaign. If you take a look at that product at the right side of the screen, these are pineapple tidbits that we have packed in what you would call stand-up pouches. They are in 110-gram and 200-gram pouches, and these two SKUs have been the key driver of growth for the category. And what is driving that really is a lot of advertising campaigns that feature the use of tidbits as an ingredient as part of the local dishes in the Philippines. Page 28, as you know, a year ago we introduced Fit and Right Active in the isotonic beverage segment of the market. And this is yet again another example of how we are leveraging the health benefit of this product, gathering over 170 of the country's leading fitness trainers from different fields to talk about health and fitness. I shall now go to S&W in Asia and the Middle East. Consumers continue to move towards less processed and more natural food, and S&W is expanding its sales of its S&W Sweet 16 Fresh Pineapple in North Asia and the Middle East. E-commerce and digital continue to grow, specifically in North Asia, having the largest share of e-commerce pie. S&W is actively exploring this channel. Page 30, I will talk more about S&W in Asia and the Middle East. Sales of S&W improved 17% in the second quarter due to strong sales of fresh pineapple in North Asia. We also introduced pasta sauces from the Philippines, sold under the S&W brand in Asian markets, and this continues to do very well. We have also started selling the S&W tomato juice to the airline industry, particularly Singapore Airlines as a start. And we're very pleased to report that the Nice Fruit JV, which utilizes a patented technology that allows fruits to be packed at the optimal ripeness and frozen for up to 3 years while preserving its nutrients and original properties, successfully launched frozen pineapple spears in 7-Eleven stores in Japan, all 16,000 stores in Japan. And we sold over a period of 4 months 4.5 million pieces of the pineapple stick. And we are now gearing for our second phase of sales, which will start in March next year. Slide 31. As you know, Jollibee is the Philippines' local largest quick service restaurant that has gone global. And on the top, talks about S&W supplying 100% pineapple juice in dispenser in all the 6 outlets of Jollibee in Singapore. And we will continue. We are also supplying pineapple juice to Jollibee stores in the Middle East. Slide 32, College Inn from the U.S. We have started to introduce that right now in Asia, starting with Park & Shop Hong Kong. And we have our initial chicken broth from the U.S. And to the right is, again, the new S&W tomato juice. Slide 33, I shall now move on to India. Field fresh sales were up 10% in second quarter due to higher Del Monte package sales. And DMPL's share of the profit is up 19% versus the prior quarter. Slide 34 features two new categories, two new products introduced in India. First is this quarter we saw the addition of 3 new variants to our dried fruit range. The first one is the Nutty Cruiser Trail Mix, a delicious and healthy blend of almonds, cashews, dried cranberries, and black raisins. And this category is really an on-the-go and snacking segment in India today. You also introduced dried cherries and cherry mix, both low-salt, low-fat snacking options. On the right side, October saw the launch of our gourmet pasta sauces. This range is revamped. Our sauce lineup to include 2 new ones, the Napolitana and the Puttanesca. And all of these are in line with our strategy of growing our profitable culinary segment. And the last one is, as you know, every year there is a festival of lights called Diwali in India. It's almost like their New Year. And just to let you know that we continue to leverage this festival year in, year out. This year, we offered consumers a range of 6 gift-packed SKUs across our fruit drinks, covering a price range of 199 to 375 rupees. And our offerings were very well received by the traditional trade, and we continue to grow this 33% year on year. I shall now turn you over to Iggy, who will talk about sustainability. Thank you.
Thank you, Cito, and good morning to all of you. Improving sustainability is one of our 5 strategic pillars, together with improving operational excellence, supporting our vision, nourishing families, enriching lives every day. And we are pleased to report that we have issued and published our first sustainability report last October, based on Singapore Exchange Guidelines and the Global Reporting Initiative, or GRI, reporting framework. And you can download this from our website, delmontepacific.com. Del Monte Foods in the U.S. launched the Growers of Good Agriculture Transparency on its website as part of the Growers of Good Master Brand campaign. DMFI finalized its Carbon Disclosure Project Report, or CDP, and is awaiting the company's rating for this year. And we're also pleased to note that Del Monte Philippines Plantation is one of only 4 recipients among all global good agricultural practices, or GAP, certified companies around the world in 2018. And that speaks to our high standards of excellence and the high quality of our fruits from our plantation in the Philippines. On page 37, we continue to be committed to improve cash flow, reduce debt, and interest expense, as Parag explained earlier in our results. You will recall that we raised about $300 million US of equity last year by issuing preference shares in the Philippines. In the fourth quarter of FY18 and the first quarter of FY19, we bought back $225 million out of the total $260 million of second lien loans of the MFI at a significant discount in the secondary market, thereby allowing us to save on principal of the debt as well as interest expense. This is actually the highest interest-bearing loan of the group currently priced at 9.7% per annum, but a week from today, as you know, the Federal Reserve is expected to increase rates further, and this second lien loan interest rate is expected to rise accordingly. And our purchase of $225 million of the second lien loan will allow us to save more than $10 million of interest payments in FY 2019. So we have reduced our gearing to 2.8 times equity as of the end of October, significant improvement from the same period last year. So this is just a recap of the outlook that Parag has outlined earlier. Barring unforeseen circumstances, we expect to be profitable in FY 2019, and you see this in our first half results ending October. And we will continue to strengthen the core business across the market, as Greg described in the U.S. market, and CETO in the Philippines, in S&W, as well as in our FieldFresh joint venture. We will continue to focus on growing our branded business and reduce non-strategic, non-branded segments of our business. And we will continue to improve our financial performance through a review of manufacturing and distribution footprint in the U.S. to improve our operational efficiencies and further reduce our costs and increase margins. And this will allow us to improve our cash flow as a group, strengthen our balance sheet, and reduce our leverage and interest expense. So with that, we would like to open the floor now for questions.
Hello. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Andy.
Hi. Yeah. Hi. This is Andy from DBS. Yes. If you don't mind, I have two questions. The first is actually on the oversupply situation of pineapple supply in Thailand, as mentioned in the announcement. I just want to get a sense of the situation now, and in terms of the outlook, how do you see the situation persisting and into second half of FY19 and into FY20, and the implication on the pricing going forward. This is my first question. Obviously, this affects the PJC as well as the processed pineapple product sales. This is the first question. I think second question is with respect to Philippines. In terms of the operational issues mentioned in the general trade, just want to again understand the operational issue with respect to the distributors and how is it persisting and how soon do we expect it to be resolved going forward. Yeah, these are my two questions for now.
Andy?
Yes.
Andy? Hi, this is Sito Alejandro.
Okay, yeah,
on the first issue of the pineapple supply, there are two factors right now, no, with regards to Thailand, the pineapple. First is because the farm gate prices have gone down dramatically to as low as $2.50 baht per kilogram. A lot of the farmers have gone away from pineapple. So with this development, definitely the next 3 years is going to be impacted, the supply of pineapple from coming from Thailand. Right now, the forecast that we know is things will improve only by the second half of 2019 all the way to the first half of 2020. Okay. By that time, the inventories that are still existing in Thailand would have been thawed out in the market. No. Now, for us, 70% of our pineapple portfolio is really for affiliates, right? So we only have an exposure of 30%. But of course, we got hit with S&W, particularly in China, where Thailand dumped their solids pineapple. No,
right. Yeah.
In the pine juice concentrate segment, our strategy is to continue to build our beverage business, not only in the Philippines, but also in international. That way, we channel less juices to pineapple concentrate than we would not have done so if we do not improve our beverage business. So that's the key strategy that we have done for pineapple concentrate, and that has existed actually for many years right now. So in summary, the situation will improve by the second half of 2019 calendar all the way to the first half of 2020 calendar. On the second point of operational issues, this is really, it goes down to the basics of the fundamentals of the distributors. No? As you know, this distributor system has been in place for 12 years right now, because before, Del Monte Philippines only had two national distributors. We moved away from that because we could not build distribution. And we were able to build the business. In fact, we have tripled the revenue over the past 12 years, right? So some of the bad eggs right now are coming to play with our distributors. We've actually let go of several of them. We are increasing, we are putting in more distributors to distribute the area amongst. So we expect that as we enter FY20, we will be in better shape with the ideal setup that we have in terms of number of distributors per area, and as well as also instilling more fundamentals on operations and on sellout. No? And finally, what's important are the bad eggs will be out. So that's the plan.
Right. Thank you. That's very clear. Thanks, Lito.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, yes.
Yeah, this is Irvin from SCB. I have two questions on the DMFI. Hello, yeah. The first question is that just now I think I heard, if I heard correctly, I think you mentioned that this gross margin as well as the EBITDA is improving for DMFI. So is that correct? And also, do you see the trend continuing? And at the same time, because you have invested the DMFI for quite a number of years, and of course, after the investment, there has been quite a lot of headwinds. So at what point do you think that you may not invest further into the DMFI? Is there any point where you think that you're not going to put in more money to the DMFI? Yeah.
Okay. So this is Gene. So yes, we've seen improved gross margins year over year. There are a couple key factors. The first is reduced trade spend has improved gross margins 200 to 300 basis points. Improving our portfolio, which is deprioritizing some low margin businesses, and then some pricing action. It is partially offset by higher costs, but year over year we have seen improved gross margins.
The second question.
We do expect to continue seeing the benefits of the strategy that was outlined by Greg and sort of reinforced by Gene. We will see improvement through pricing and trade promotion spend optimization in the second half of the year. But we are also seeing some headwinds coming from increase in commodity costs, particularly tinplate, following increase in import duties, which is pushing up the prices of U.S. steel, as well as some other items such as import duties on product that is sourced out of China. So we are seeing some headwinds. So definitely something to watch out and continually and proactively address it by both revenue optimization measures as well as cost optimization measures, which we are actively pursuing. Now, we feel strongly about the business, and as Greg has outlined very clearly, we are progressing and we are following the strategy that has been laid out, so we don't see any reason why we would be looking at pulling out or reducing our investments in the DMFI business.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, this is Elfie from DBS. Just want to check with you the interco payment between the Philippines entity and your US entity regarding the receivables on the Philippines entity. Has it been unwind, and can you update us on the situation right now?
So, to answer your question, on first between overdues between GTL and DMPI, we have really stayed with the plan which was outlined 9 months back, and paid another tranche of $35 million in October. So with that, since January of 2018, when we laid out the plan as part of our IPO offering of DMPI, we have reduced the overdues by 4.5 billion pesos. So that's on the receivables between DMPI and GTL. And when it comes to receivables between GTL and DMFI, we are in a much better shape. For example, this year, coming out of the pack, the support extended for the PAC was much less as compared to last year. It was lower by $70 million. And that was possible because the working capital improvements that we outlined previously, the inventory reduction, is all having positive impact. So in terms of receivables between GTL and DMFI, we are lower versus last year by $70 million at the end of the same time. Plus, we are also proactively settling those in November and December, whereas we had done the same at the end of fiscal or after fiscal when it comes to FI18. Hope that answers your question.
Okay, what's the balance right now on your Philippine site? And going forward with your plan, how much will that be in whatever time frame you specify?
So, as I said, the overdue is further reduced by almost is down to 10 billion with GTL. We expect to settle the 1 billion in Q3, so we expect it to be around 9 billion by the end of Q3. That's where we will leave it, and would be absolutely as per our plan. Would like to remind you, we were expecting to almost get 4 to 4.5 billion to bring down the receivables of DMPI further down through the IPO proceeds, which has now been postponed.
Okay, so the visibility is 9 billion by end of Q3. That's it, right?
Yes, that's what we are aiming for.
Okay, thank you. Hello, Elfie again. Just a follow-up question on your receivables. So after you unwind these receivables, any mechanism in place to ensure that there will be disciplined collection henceforth after you have reached your targeted 9 billion by end of Q3?
Yes, couple of measures, Elfie, have been taken. First of all, we have sufficient lines now at the DMPL level that allows us to make sure that we would not be using the balance sheet or credit lines of DMPI for any group funding requirements. So that's the first thing which gives me confidence that we will be able to maintain and not really use any incremental funds that would be used for any financing requirements of other businesses. So that's one. Secondly, since the beginning of FY18, when it comes to all supplies that go from the MPI, we are on track, and we do not expect to extend any overdues on the same, including settling for pineapple supplies from GTL to the MFI. So we are current, and we will continue to do that and monitor that.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions? Are there any other questions? If none, then we would like to conclude our conference call, and thank you for joining us this morning in Asia. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to everyone.